You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. We recently reported that Traverse City is hoping to become a stop for Great Lakes cruise ships. There are a handful of cruise ship companies on the Great Lakes these days. It seems to be a growing trend and another piece of the puzzle in making the most of tourism in Michigan. But all of that got us to thinking of a time when steamships were not just for vacations, but a major mode of travel around the state. As you'll hear on this 1944 MGM film, Travel Talks, about travel by water to Mackinac Island.
It is a beautiful boat with a cruising speed of 15 knots, typical of the luxury liners that ply the Great Lakes during the summer season, transporting thousands of passengers to the many popular resorts for which the Great Lakes region is famous.
Joining us now is Bill Hurd. He's retired now, but he was the lead interpretive ranger and historian with Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
So why did we have a lot of passenger ships on the Great Lakes in the late 19th and early 20th centuries?
Well, the simple reason, it was the most convenient way to travel. Imagine, you know, before there were good roads for automobiles, or even before that with horses and wagon, if you wanted to get any place more than a few miles, a ship was the way to go. Especially if you had a lot of luggage to take along with you.
How typical was it for someone to travel by ship to get to a Great Lakes coastal community?
Well, it was the most common way for most folks. If you're down at the other end of Lake Michigan and you wanted to come north for a couple of weeks or a month, steamship was the most convenient way, and not only convenient, but also the most comfortable way to travel.
Give us an idea of what these ships look like. How big were they? Were all of them powered by steam, or did we have some sail ships before those steamships started?
They were steamships, started in around the 1860s when we started getting settlement of this area. There were, of course, a lot of sailing ship schooners that carried smaller freight, but passengers were primarily on the steamships because they, with the steam, they could keep a fairly regular schedule from port to port, not having to depend on the wind so much. But they gradually increased in size and power. So by the turn of the century, you're looking at a ship that was about the 200 feet long, several decks. Fairly fancy, because almost a smaller version of something like you'd picture, like the Titanic, scaled down, two or three times.
I remember visiting Isle Royale several years ago, and we stopped on the way there near the island to look at a shipwreck. Superior is really clear there, and you could look down and see this big steamship that was there at one time. Were there a lot of wrecks like that, and how reliable was steam travel?
Well, given the conditions that you didn't have reliable, sophisticated navigation, you didn't have a good weather reports, they probably did a pretty good reliability under and safety under their conditions. But yeah, there were tragic mishaps. There were steamships that capsized at the dock because of overloading. There were ones that caught fire and burned in the middle of the lake, some that just totally disappeared. But consider the number of trips and the number of people, they were fairly reliable transportation.
When we see steamships, whether it's paddle boats on the Mississippi or the Titanic in movies, seems like everybody's dressed to the hilt. They all seem to be wealthy or a little better, unless they're way down low on the passenger list. Mm-hmm. Who was the typical passenger on a steamship on the Great Lakes? Did you have to be wealthy, middle class? Were poor folks using it as well?
All of those folks. Now, the ones that were probably coming for, a lot of families came to northern Michigan to spend 2 weeks or a month. And if dads couldn't get off work, they could actually get on a steamship in Chicago and Friday evening, sleep overnight, and arrive in Glen Haven at Saturday morning, spend Saturday and Sunday afternoon late to get back on the boat and be back in Chicago rested to go to work on Monday morning. That was $5 at one way. So that was a little bit pricey, but, you know, for okay for upper middle class and a little bit of a luxury for just a weekend. So, you know, the steamships were the most practical way of getting around. And so, you know, there were lower rates with lesser accommodations. And that's the way a lot of the, you know, immigrants and settlers made it to northern Michigan and northern Wisconsin.
We've been talking about passengers, but I assume some of these ships were carrying goods to the different cities. How reliant were the cities on the Great Lakes on these ships?
Well, I mean, that was the main way to get things around in the early decades. But yes, all the ships, even the ones that were primarily for carrying passengers, carried a lot of freight. You know, the steamer trunks and everything for the passengers, but just a lot of just standard freight from port to port. But yeah, having a steamship, being a city that had a harbor, was important to the growth. And until probably the 1920s, when automobiles and trucks took over.
At Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, there's a ghost town, Glen Haven, which was built because of steamboat traffic. How did that town first become established?
Well, it became established because there was a steamship company called the Northern Transportation Company that had a fleet of 24 ships. And at that time, the ships, the fuel was wood. And the ship needed to stop several times on a going from, let's say, Chicago to Detroit, would need to stop several times to get additional wood. It would burn so much wood, even if you didn't carry any cargo or passengers, you still, you know, couldn't carry enough wood. So they picked the spot of Glen Haven because it had good protection from southwest wind, and had a town there which would always have stacks of firewood ready to load its fleet of ships.
So what can you find or see at Glen Haven today?
Well, you know, typically an early steamship town would have had a long dock going out into the water, and the remains of that dock are there underwater. There, it would have had a boarding house or a hotel, and the Sleeping Bear Inn is there for folks to see. There would have also, in a town like that, there would have been a general store to provide supplies to both the workmen and passengers on the ship, and the general store is there, and folks can actually go in and buy things. There's what have always been a blacksmith shop, and the blacksmith shop is there, so you can actually go in and watch the blacksmith work the iron and make small objects. Other than that, you just get the idea of, you know, what this area would have been like with in the early days, with lots of open space and trees, stacks of wood piled up along the shore.
What do you think of this growing trend of Great Lakes cruise ships bringing tourists to different stops around Michigan and the other Great Lakes states?
Well, there's no doubt that cruising in the Great Lakes is spectacular, great scenery, so you know it's got to be a delightful experience. Always the question is when you come into a small port, you know, whether there are facilities there to handle the influx of people, but there's no doubt that it would be a really delightful experience sailing around on the Great Lakes.
Bill Hurd is a retired lead interpretive ranger and historian at Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. Thanks for telling us about boats and ships in the Great Lakes.
Thank you for having me.
There's a steamer in the harbor with her engine shot with fire, and our hearts have gone aboard her for the Island of Desire. This time, our destination is Mackinac Island, and the good ship upon which we are about to sail is being guided out into Lake Michigan, just off the Chicago shore.